we could go a lot of different ways for this. We could go, nobody's going to recess until somebody tells the teacher who was talking out of turn, who threw that eraser. We could go super streets to where it's like, you need to send that man out that actually shot at one of us. And then everything will be over. But I think I'm going to take y'all to Sunday school. In front of Pontius Pilate, when he asked him, hey, homie, is you guilty of what they say? And Jesus kept his mouth shut. Mans was like, you know what it is. You see it. That's basically how Jesus answered him. And then Pilate was like, listen, I fucks with the dude. Like, I don't see anything wrong with him. But apparently y'all need a body. So who you want me to set free? You want me to set free this man who's clearly innocent as hell, or this man we already know is a thief, Barabbas? You feel me? Because y'all told me I got to give y'all a body. I got to, you know what I'm saying? You need somebody. They was like, free Barabbas, free Barabbas. I was like, well, the crowd want a body. Y'all want to free the dude. Okay. Pretty sure this guy's innocent though. But I guess she want a guy. So here you go. And they gave him Barabbas. So I'm going to talk about this, but in reverse. Let's talk about the Ahmaud Arbery case. The Politics Show. So what I mean in reverse, this story in reverse is this. In this situation, at least according to the New Testament, Jesus was innocent, you know, and Barabbas was clearly and obviously guilty, right? And as the custom goes, is the judge is supposed to set somebody free because it's a holiday weekend. I'm paraphrasing for you. It's a holiday weekend. I'm supposed to give y'all one person to set free to show mercy on. He was trying to set them up to be like, can y'all... okay, you really gonna make me crucify this nigga? Like, I'm telling you, ain't done shit, but all right. So he was like trying to look for an out to be like, well, here, the crowd needs a body. So I'm gonna give y'all somebody, you know, and he was hoping they would take Jesus, but they didn't. They took Barabbas, the actual guilty one, set him free. And the reason why he did this is because the crowd was getting restless. The crowd needed a something, right? When the streets is demanding something, it's just like, man, just give them anybody. You know what I'm saying? Just throw them anybody, right? Look it. When you was at elementary school and your teacher was like, listen, nobody going to recess until I know who threw them. Y'all sitting down, who said that joke, who said the diss. Nobody want to be a snitch, but the teacher needs a body. And I don't even know if the teacher even cares if that's the person. It's the principalities. I'm demanded something. You need to give it to me. So you just thought, Ryan did it, right? Ryan like, oh, y'all just going to throw me to? Okay, y'all just go. Okay, I did it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody go free. The teacher just needed a body. Sometimes when it's about the police investigating crimes, there are times in, you know, when you involved in some of these criminal activities that like the cops just need to show the public that they did a job. So they just, that nigga did it. That nigga go do his time and everybody happy. We can continue with our drug selling and everything fine. They just needed a body, you know. I'll be honest with you. I really think that's what Derek Chauvin was. I think they just threw us a body. Now, this may seem like ancient history is mainly because of how crazy these last 2 years were. But Derek Chauvin was the possessor of the knee that was on the neck of George Floyd, which sparked probably, at least in modern history, one of the biggest protests against racist practices and police brutality. But he wasn't the only case that was happening around this time. You know what I'm saying? You got the Breonna Taylor case. You got... Ahmaud Arbery, which is what I'm going to talk about a little later after this, and then the George Floyd thing. So this uprising, like, I mean, it's been some decades since we've seen something like this, right? Cities ablaze, right? People was just tired of it, you know what I'm saying? And the hope was to say, you know, especially when the white people got involved, and people always asked me, like, do I think that this moment is different? And what I said is, we'll see in a couple years. I said, I don't know. I don't know yet. You know, but they're like, but don't you think this feels different? And I'm like, yeah, it feels different, but I don't know. And at first, my I don't know was like, okay, well, we'll see if Derek Chauvin is found guilty, right? And is that justice? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, is this what we were asking for? Is that the one crime that in the perfect scenario was caught on camera, right, by multiple witnesses? A one that was so egregious that even President Donald J. Trump was like, oh, no, that nigga wildin'. Like, that's how crazy this was. You feel me? Like, even the president was like, nah, you know, Mr. Good People on both sides was like, I don't know, Derek, you on your own, cuz. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how wild that mug was. But the question is that what we mean by justice? Like, is that it? Well, if you follow the homie Teslin and some of her her activism work with the cause the George Floyd Act, which was a police brutality thing that just got shot down. Okay, so we still trying to figure out voter rights. Any police reform ain't really like fully like, are we seeing the sweeping, you know, I'm on the, you know where I stand, but like, have we really seen any sweeping changes in the way we do policing? I mean, am I tripping or isn't that what the Democrats ran on? That they was going to be, you know what I'm saying? We going to be the majority. So We're going to get this done. We're going to get this justice done. I'm like, man, y'all finna get waxed in the midterms because y'all ain't done shit. I mean, thanks for Juneteenth, respectfully. But come on, cuz. Or y'all, we need to get a crowd what they need. They need a body. I'll be honest with you. My antennas is on the side of, yeah, they just kind of threw us a body. This was too egregious. You can't have these back-to-back things because, again, you got to remember, this is post, go back to Rodney King, this post Mike Brown, this post Oscar Grant, this post, you know, pick a name, Eric Garner, you know what I'm saying? Where, again, we all saw on camera, we saw that man get choked out. I remember on my couch, like, I cried when that not guilty thing came. I cried as if I knew Eric Garner because that's what's interesting about the Black experience. Like, I feel like I did know him. You know what I'm saying? I know that fear. I know that fear when you looking in that officer's face, or even if it's not an officer, just somebody who's deeply racist and is so confident about their power in this situation that like it's a fearful thing because they're not careful. They believe the world is theirs. And they have a track record of getting away with it. So that's why they make those moves. So I know that fear. So I felt like I knew Eric Garner when I saw this. But you got all that history that if we saying governments, courts, all this, we saying it's just a way to understand it is just hood, then you understand that at some point, man, you can't have a winning streak like this. At some point, we're going to burn this whole city down if y'all keep tripping. So it's like we need to give them something. You know what I'm saying? It's like in the movies when somebody robs somebody and then throw them a $20 bill to be like, hey man, go get yourself home. It's like, nigga, you just robbed, so you just gave me $20 and I'm supposed to be okay, right? feel like we were thrown Derek Chauvin to calm us down. This is just me riffing here. This is just me using my antennas. Why I say this is because I really haven't seen any real laws changed. And if you remember, way back months ago when I first joined the iHeart Network and we talked about laws that were being passed right under your nose, one of them laws was like just anti-protesting laws that, like, if you drive through with a car through a protest of humans, that it's not really a felony if you kill someone because they shouldn't have been in the streets. Seemed to me like they just threw us a body. Let's talk about Ahmaud Arbery. So, the trial starting in the Ahmaud Arbery case. And the part we're on is the jury selection. And what they're saying is, like, they really having a hard time picking some jurors. And I wonder why. You know what I'm saying? Because for you to be a juror, what they're trying to do is find the least informed about the situation, because you're supposed to come in unbiased. Now, this is one of those, like, weird points in our justice system that, I guess, on paper, when you say, you know, you get to be convicted or judged in a court in front of your peers, what they're trying to say is other regular ass Americans who are hearing the situation and judging, like, oh, either, nah, nigga, you wildin', or that's unfair, this fool, nah, I don't think, because in that situation, I probably would have, nah, I don't think this is a situation. So the idea of a jury is it's 12 people who are red-blooded citizens just like you, and they're supposed to be unbiased. The problem is those red-blooded citizens are also humans who are also aware of a thing called the internet, who may possibly have a television. There's nowhere in the world you can't not know what's going on. Matter of fact, here's a super side note, incredible moment in history. Right before Brown versus Board of Education, right before that case was another case that changed the Constitution as we know it. It was a Latino man in San Antonio, Texas, who murdered another Latino man in San Antonio, Texas, right? And up until then, our Constitution only recognized two races. It was black and white. So in this case, if there's only black and white, then what is a Latino? Well, according to the law, Latino white, according to the paperwork. So when this man went to trial, his defense was like, I'm supposed to be tried by my peers. This is a board of white people. Everybody here white. And the judge was like, according to the law, you're white. And everybody in the room was like, that's absurd. You know, I'm not white. And they was like, well, I don't, you know, the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. So they had to fight to be like, nah, the paperwork's not working because y'all not treating me like I'm white and everybody know they not. Then what is this discrimination? Like, this is ridiculous. You know, you jumping through hoops right now. So that actually, that case is why there's racial gradations. Hate to say it like that, but why there is in the Constitution, which would have been one of the biggest trials and cases in all of our history books had it not been in the shadow of Brown versus Board of Education. But that's a side note. So it's just this weird kind of like, I see why we did it, and on paper, it's a great idea. It's just like when you study economics, when you get into economic theory, I think I may have said this before, you have a concept called the average man. That's the person with 2.5 kids, right? And a dog and a half. You know what I'm saying? When you average out what everybody has, it kind of breaks down to this. So then you set all of your models based on this human that's not a real human because nobody got 2.5 kids, right? But that's how the math works out. So it's kind of absurd that, like, all of our economic models are based on a human that don't exist. which is kind of like, in a lot of ways, the basis of our juries. It's like that an unbiased person don't exist. They live here. And one of the ways they get around that is they say, okay, now I'm saying they, you can fill in the subtext of they, you just move it to a different county. Now, oftentimes when it's a black person on trial, or in this situation, a black victim, the defense is super well aware of our collective identity and our collective suffering. And that we are going to be, in most cases, very sympathetic to the victim, mainly because, number one, they a victim. Number two, it could be me. And number three, we saw what the fuck happened. Like, I don't understand how this ain't hard. You're going to be hard pressed to find you a black person that can't sympathize with the moment that brother was in. So if you're the defense, you like, we better go get us some white jurors who can sympathize with what them white boys was going through. And keep in mind, we in Georgia, because fam, Brunswick, Georgia. So I mean, that's the playbook. The playbook is you move it to a different county. Get you an all white jury. You feel me? Who is air quotes unbiased, because they're not from there. And they're just following the facts. Sure. Which, as a side note, y'all got to say yes to jury duty. If you are of voting age and you get that jury summits, y'all got to say yes, dog. Like, because guess who is saying yes? Person that's going to find these men not guilty for killing Ahmaud Arbery. Those are the people that say yes. They got faith in the system still. And the parts that they don't believe in, they gonna tip the scales for themselves. You gotta say yes when the jury duty thing come in. Mine came in, I happened to be on tour. Shout out Andy Mineo for taking me on tour. Also, I got a new EP dropping, yeah, it's the music side. But I had to move it to December because I was on tour. But rest assured, I'm a go. Now, I know that's a day off work. I know how hard that is. So I'm saying this from a position of like, I could probably afford it. But in the way that you can, in as much as you can, try to say yes to jury duty. And I know when they interview you, I know when I walk into the room and they see, you know, dreadlocks to my middle back, and my I Don't Hate America, I Just Demand to Keep Her Promises t-shirt. Most likely, I'm not going to get selected, but I'm going to try my best to get on this thing to make sure that justice is served. But that's a side note. That's a freebie for you. Now, that being said, we're in the jury selection process for the Ahmaud Arbery case. If you're not familiar, if you don't remember what happened, Ahmaud Arbery was outside jogging in Brunswick, Georgia, minding his own business. Then three men, Gregory McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and their neighbor William Bryan, proceeded to follow him because they believed he committed some sort of crime. Confronted him, shot him, and killed him. That crime was breaking and entering, according to them. Subtext, that's not what happened. What he did do was go look into a active construction site, like all of us do. And got some sort of report that, you know, he was being dangerous. So they followed the homie to confront him and killed him. Now, the best part of this is they defense. And y'all, can I tell you what they defense is? This is how they plan to defend themselves. There was a law from 1863 that's about when, if you are a citizen and you are sure that a person is committing a crime, you have the right to confront them and do a citizen's arrest. This is a law from 1863. Now, let me ask you what was going on in 1863 in Georgia. What the hell law breaking you think this is for? You understand what I'm saying? So they're going to cite that mug, and then they're going to cite the stand your ground laws. Now, let's take let's take both of these scenarios and let's walk them through. Listen, my premise is they just gave us Derek Chauvin. Because they was like, y'all need to chill. So, yeah, we're going to give y'all that. That was a little too hard. These fools' defense is this. You mean to tell me that these three men are such experts in Georgia constitutional law that they done unfolded the archives to know that there was a law on the books from 1863 that has been repealed, mind you, that guaranteed before they chased this dude that they had the right to make this arrest. You trying to tell me these three men knew this? So when they appealed, they said, no, we have the right according to the law, 1863. That's what it says. I was like, first of all, the law repealed. Secondly, is you serious? I want you to right now Google obscure laws or laws that are still on the board. Not right now because you're listening. But at some point, look at some obscure laws in your state or in your city. There's laws about gum. There's laws about farting in public. There's laws about buying two chickens on Sundays that are still on the books. You mean to tell me these men is such an expert in they in they Georgia Constitution that's what you going with? That's the defense you going with, fam? And then the stand your ground laws, which was the same one, if y'all remember, George Zimmerman went with in Florida when he murdered Trayvon Martin. You heard me, he murdered him. You have the right to stand your ground. If you're being accosted or you found or being threatened, you have the right to stand your ground. Which, if I'm following the story, shouldn't that law apply to Ahmaud Arbery? Wasn't he out jogging and y'all chased him? What the hell ground you standing? You taking ground. So if you're going to go with the defense of standing your ground laws, you making an argument for the fact that Ahmaud Arbery had the right to kill y'all. Not that you had the right to kill them because he was the one being chased. You were the aggressor. How the hell does stand your ground law apply to you? You the aggressor. Y'all, this is bonkers. So if you ask me, have we really turned the corner in justice? I don't know. You tell me. I feel like somebody just threw us a body. Because if the shenanigans keep coming, then I don't know if we've seen justice. I think justice has much more to do with what happens for not only this particular situation, but what happens to the rest of the country. Were we able to examine our mistakes, our collective mistakes in this situation and say, hey, let's make sure this don't happen again? First of all, no amount of law changing is going to bring Miss Aubrey's son back. We understand that. Nothing's going to bring George Floyd back, you know, and of course, we believe in crime and punishment in a sense that like, yo, man, these people committed a crime. They should be punished for it. Right. But remember, like we said about the Breonna Taylor thing, is that I can't just appeal to whether it's a crime or not, because according to Kentucky law, they didn't commit a crime. It's not a crime if there's no law on it. the no-knock law was already there. That didn't change till after sister was dead. So you can't retroactively find somebody guilty for a law that didn't exist. So we can't just rely on that. We talking about justice here. Justice is something different. Justice is a lot more than that. Justice is a lot more comprehensive. And that's what, like, I'm challenging y'all about. That's what I'm saying right here. That's why I'm like, I don't know. You asked me if we changed. I think we just got thrown a body. Because I don't know if justice, even in Derek Chauvin case, I don't think that's been served. I know that the Minneapolis Police Department has made a bunch of changes. That's cool for Minneapolis. We talking about Georgia now. I understand that we live in different states. I understand that all these states, though, are a part of America. And if these situations continue to happen, we can't get no federal law passed because, again, they shot down a George Floyd Act. And if you're watching real closely what's happening with the spending bill, it seems to me like all the stuff that was going to find and support issues of justice have been gutted from the thing. I mean, I feel like we just getting thrown a body. Now, lastly, I want to talk about a bigger picture of how a lot of these cases go. And what you find is usually the defendant is not on trial. The victim is. Listen to me closely. The question is not, did these defendants commit a crime? The question oftentimes is, did the victim have it coming? And this nuance, this is where all your Twitter fights come in, because somebody's usually arguing with you whether the person deserved to die rather than was a crime committed. And we fall for it every time. You got to know that's what's happening and be like, I'm not here to put the victim on trial. I'm here to talk about the accused. These are two different scenarios. You know how I know this? Because everybody wondering what kind of drugs George Floyd was on. Everybody wondering what kind of drugs Rodney King was on. Everybody wondering why Breonna Taylor's man had a gun on him. Well, he shouldn't have. Everybody want to know about them Skittles in Trayvon Martin's pocket. Well, he shouldn't have his hood up. Well, he should have just complied. Now people want to know about Ahmaud Arbery's mental state, was in his mental health. You're putting the victim on trial. And what you're asking is, did he deserve to die? Did he ask for it? Because if he asked for it, then that means these men ain't guilty because he asked for it. That's not a question of law, is it? That's not a question of justice. That's a question of life's worth. That's a question of, do Black lives matter? You could be mad at, that's what they asking. Did he have it coming? Well, he shouldn't have went into the construction. Well, he shouldn't have ran away. So you telling me that that's really what's on trial? The victim's on trial. You people wonder why all these cases go these different ways. Why people making these defenses about how the victim acting. And this is why Black people be like, the system not set up for us. Just wondering what's admissible in this court. Could you see a Confederate flag sticker on the back of homie truck in the video? You asking me if that is relevant to the case? You mean to tell you? So Ahmaud Arbery's mental health is relevant, but whether or not these men had a Confederate sticker on their truck is not. So the question is, are they both inadmissible or are they both admissible? So because it goes to the mental state somehow or another. Somebody gonna try to argue that whether these men had a Confederate flag on their truck or not is erroneous. Y'all, that's wild, man. Damn, man, nigga gotta be Jesus to be killed and let these people find their killers guilty. God dog, man. You want a perfect victim. The victim gotta meet your standards. And even if they do, if the system decide this ain't the day, or what, the person was just doing their job. And, you know, if you was in the situation, you can't really say, so we being a jury of our peers? That's what you're telling me? So listen, all that to say this. It's crazy that, again, one of the biggest racial justice movements has led to maybe three laws changed, one conviction, a bunch of anti-protest laws, but, you know, defund the police is not, it's not an electable phrase, right? But, you know, Black Lives Matter is, it's divisive, right? I got you. We'll see, though. We'll see. We'll see if these men are convicted of a crime and maybe some change happens, or they just gave us a body. Moral of the story is we can't take our foot off our elected official's neck, man. I feel like we... Y'all just went back to brunch, man. You know, we like people of color, Black people, like overwhelmingly voted for this Democratic wave. And like, man, what we getting for it, dog? Like, y'all can't, we can't take that, we can't take the pressure. We gotta stay on their heads, man. Stay on their heads. Because if not, all they gonna do is just every couple years throw us a body. Hood politics, y'all.
So hood right now. Hood politics, y'all. So hood.
Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. And y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.